So anyway, so that'll be it. You know, you just have to, without this sheet, without any other notes, I'll look through everybody's Bhagavad Gita to make sure they haven't. But you're all brahmanas, so I know brahmanas are honest, you know, clean, all that stuff, religious. So the brahmanas aren't going to do that. Yes. But we're in Vrindavan Dham, so we don't want to commit any offenses that are going to be 1,000 times worse than they would be elsewhere. So I'll just rely on everybody's brahminical honesty to. So you just do that. It's very simple. You just list 10 levels of God realization, give one Bhagavad Gita verse for each of them, and then write a little paragraph about what the purpose of the course is, which I've explained many times. And if you want to hear it one more time, you can raise your hand. You have to remember them.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, you have to remember them. You can't bring any notes or the sheet. You can't look at it. You can bring it, but you can't look at it during the test. Just to make you think. It'll make you think, you know, a little bit. But it's not hard. You'll get them all. You can have your Bhagavad Gita, though. You know, so you don't have to memorize the verses or anything. You can look through and, you know, look for. So what I would suggest is, yeah, the first thing is just try to list all the levels of God realization that you can remember that we talked about. And, yeah, if you kind of remember, I mean, one thing that's helpful to do is, like, you can remember, well, like, it goes from, of course, you're going to get Krishna, you know, at this end, and then you get atheism at that end, and then you just fill in everything in between. Atheism, demon, ghost, and spirit worshippers, demigod worshippers, you know, the impersonalist, you know, the Brahman worshippers, the universal form, seeing God in nature, the super soul, seeing God as the ultimate source and controller, God as the Father, and then Bhagavan, Krishna, Krishna's personal form. Okay? So, any questions? No further questions on that. So I gave you the entire exam, and so therefore I'm sure everyone will get 100%. Right? So today, I want to talk a little bit more about this final level of God realization. And to sort of get into it, I want to read something from Srila Prabhupada. But first, actually, this is Srila Prabhupada's commentary on a shloka from a modern pop music group. But it's relevant. It's extremely relevant to our topic. So, the name, some of you probably haven't heard this before, but the name of the group was Jefferson Airplane. Anybody heard of that?
Yeah.
Does everybody know who that is? Everybody, who knows Jefferson Airplane? You may not know because you're from a different culture. But who's heard of Jefferson Airplane? Raise hands, please. 1, 2, 3, 4. Who hasn't heard of them? Okay. So anyways, in the 1960s, there was a in San Francisco at that rock concert that Srila Prabhupada went to. When Srila Prabhupada first went to San Francisco, the devotees like Mukunda Maharaj and Shyama Sundar, they arranged for a big rock concert to welcome Srila Prabhupada to San Francisco. So they invited all the, of course this was the age of the hippies. So the hippies had lots of favorite bands in San Francisco, Grateful Dead, Jefferson Airplane, you know, groups like that. So they all came to this concert and they had a benefit for Srila Prabhupada. So who knows the most famous song by Jefferson Airplane? Anybody know it? No. So called, well, the famous line from this song was, "You better find somebody to love." So, is anybody familiar with that song?
Yeah.
They've heard it. Okay. Yes. So even today it's still famous. They're still singing it. So with that introduction, Srila Prabhupada's saying, "We are searching after a lover. That day the boys were singing. What is that singing, you said?" "No." "Devotee, yes. You better find somebody to love." Prabhupada, "Jai. Better find out somebody to love." So now here's his commentary on the Jefferson Airplane song. That is the problem. That is the problem of this life. Everyone is there. Now after some disappointment, they say that, "I had tried to find out somebody, girl or boy, to love, but I was, I mean to say, frustrated, disappointed. Now I find that the dog is the best friend." Yes, actually they say like that. "We find the dog is the best friend, is it not?" "Yes, why?" Everyone is searching after to love somebody. That's a fact, because we are lovers. Our constitutional position is lover. Prahlad Maharaj says that Vishnu, your loving object is Vishnu, so try to love Vishnu, then your life will be successful. You'll feel satisfaction, yayatma supraciditi. You'll feel, "Oh, I have got something now. Now I have got this loving object." In another place, Prahlad Maharaj said, "Na te vidu svarti gatim hi Vishnu." They do not know what is their actual loving object. That is Vishnu. And in the Vedic mantra, Rig mantra, it is said, "Tad Vishno paramam padam sada pashyanti surya." Those who are demigods, they are always Surya. So then he explains how the, like the demigods, they're always looking to Vishnu. But the point is that constitutionally, as Srila Prabhupada says, we're lovers. We're meant to love something. And that is why Krishna is the highest level of God realization, because in none of these other levels of God realization that we've been talking about have we touched upon this subject of needing some supreme object of love. And Krishna is the only person who can fulfill, you know, that innate tendency of the soul to love. Any other kind of love object will prove to be disappointing or frustrating. So by nature, each soul has an innate loving relationship with Krishna. It's one verse from the Prema Vivarta. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddhi Chitti Karya Udai. So Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema means that the love for Krishna is eternally there in the heart. You know, it's the everyone by their constitution has an eternal loving relationship with Krishna. Sadhya Kabunai, it's not something that's learned or imported from outside, you know, by some practice. It's not something that you develop by some practice. It's not something that's not there originally, but somehow or other you bring in, you know, by some practice. It's already there in the heart. And then shravanadi shudechitti, by hearing and the other processes of devotional service, shravana adi, shudhe chitte. So shudha means to become purified, and chitte means the consciousness. It's like Lord Chaitanya prayed, cheto darpana marjanam, you know, this Krishna consciousness that purifies the mirror of the mind, that purifies the consciousness. So shravanadi shudhe chitte, by performing the activities of devotional service, then karya udai, then it comes. This love for Krishna that's already there, it becomes manifest. The word used is udai. You know, just like we have the Mayapur Chandra Udaya Mandir in Mayapur, West Bengal, the moon of Lord Chaitanya, the rising moon of Lord Chaitanya, Chandra Udaya. Chandra means moon, Udaya means to rise. So when the moon rises, that means it's not that the moon comes into existence when we see it come over the horizon. The moon already existed, but it was just out of our sight. So similarly, this love for Krishna, it's in the heart of every living entity. Of course, you may say, well, Narayan. So maybe some of them Narayan, some other expansion of Krishna. But this love for Vishnu or Krishna is, it's there in the heart. And just by the process of devotional service, it comes out. And then that satisfies the soul. And none of these other things will really satisfy, even the ones that relate to God. I mean, just simply, you know, like intellectually understanding that there's some controller or source, that's important. You know, because it can turn us away from a life of sense gratification and give us a meaningful life. Actually, yesterday I was speaking to some devotees from Switzerland, and they speak German. And one man, I was asking him, you know, why he was interested in Krishna consciousness, and he said, oh, I was working as an engineer, but then I gave it up, and I took to Krishna consciousness so I could begin a more, he used a German word, sinful life. Yeah, so everybody kind of laughed. Yeah, and sinful in German means, sin means sense, and full means full of meaning. Yeah, like, you know, we just kind of said the German word, and everybody laughed. Yeah, oh, I joined Krishna consciousness because I wanted sinful life. But it means a life full of meaning. But in any case, this love for Krishna, it really satisfies the soul in a way that just some, you know, intellectual or philosophical understanding of the existence of God can't do. And it satisfies the soul more than just seeing God as the order supplier too. Because many people, they pray to God for material things, just like somebody will order something from some mail order catalog. You know, just like if somebody, you know, they get a catalog, you know, a record catalog or a clothes catalog or something, and they say, oh, I want this, and they write down their credit card number, and you know, they send it in, and all they really care about is if, well, you know, I ordered it, I paid for it, you know, did I get it? You know, then they're happy. And they really don't care so much about the person who's running the company, you know, the mail order company out there. All they care about is, you know, I want this, I paid for it, and if it comes in the mail, then they're happy, they're satisfied. You know, they don't really, you know, of course if it doesn't come, then they may say, well, I'm not going to do that again, you know. But, and that's the kind of attitude that many people have towards God. And they just see God as like an order supplier. And if it comes, if they get what they want, then all right, they're happy, they're satisfied, they got what they want. But it's not that they love the person or even care about the person who sent it to them. And then somehow or other, if they don't get what they want or they're not satisfied with it, then they may just decide, oh, well, yeah, I'm not going to deal with that anymore. But that kind of relationship doesn't satisfy the need of the soul to love. So it's not, you know, the ultimate level the ultimately satisfying level of God realization. That can only come when we start to see God as the supreme lovable object, and then try to love God somehow or other. You know, that's, and of course this gets into the whole science of devotional service, as it's explained in the Nectar Devotion, all the rasas, you know, that each soul has a particular kind of relationship, a particular rasa with Krishna. So when one and you can't love some featureless kind of person, you know, that's just out there somewhere. So Krishna reveals everything about himself. He reveals his transcendental form, his pastimes, all of these things are meant to attract our love. So Krishna reveals himself in that way so as to attract our love and devotion. And none of these other levels of God realization actually satisfy that need that we have for like a perfect loving relationship. Everything else is sort of mixed with, you know, some kind of material demand. So that's why Lord Chaitanya is praying like Nandanam Najanam Nasundariam Kavitam Va Jagadishakami Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhagavad Bhaktir Hoitiki Twi, saying, I don't want followers, I don't want wealth, I don't want a beautiful wife, I don't want the reputation of being a big poet or scholar. I just want your causeless devotional service, lifetime after lifetime. So that's what's necessary to achieve this level of God realization. Then if one gets it, then Krishna says, then you achieve his supreme abode. You enter into his pastimes. So in the verses of Bhagavad Gita, you know, we'll find things that explain different aspects of what I just said. You know, how Krishna is the supreme lovable object, how love for him has to be unmotivated, unmixed with anything else, how attraction for Krishna like this and service to Krishna in that mood will result in entering into Krishna's nature, entering into Krishna's abode, entering into Krishna's association. So we can go over some of those verses, unless anybody has any questions or comments they'd like to make at this time. Anything? No? Of course, there's so many. Since, you know, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is ultimately to put the stress on pure devotional service to Krishna, there's so many verses, you know, that we can go over. But we can just start going through some of them. Chapter 2, text 51. So in this verse, Krishna says, by thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. So this is one of the results that pure devotional service to Krishna gives. You know, you can get out of the cycle of birth and death and go, you know, back to our original home. Whereas none of these other things do that. If you worship the demigods, you go to their planet, but when your karma runs out, you come back to this world. Even the impersonalists, if they go up to the impersonal form of realization, still, Yeah, they come down from there too, because they eventually, because they're persons, they have to engage in activity. And if they don't have the activity of pure devotional service to engage in, then they come back down to material activities. Then text 64 in the second chapter, we're just going over some of these things. So there Krishna says, but a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So to come to the level of pure devotional service and realize Krishna fully in his original personal form, one has to have the mercy of the Lord. So then Krishna is saying here how to get the complete mercy of the Lord. In other words, there's no more mercy that's needed at that point. The purport says, although a person in full Krishna consciousness may apparently be on the sensual plane, because of his being Krishna conscious, he has no attachment to sensual activities. The Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. Therefore, he is transcendental to all attachment and detachment. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything which is ordinarily undesirable, and if Krishna does not want, he shall not do that which he would have ordinarily done for his own satisfaction. Therefore, to act or not act is within his control, because he acts only under the direction of Krishna. So these are the regulative principles of freedom. If we do as Krishna directs, then we're actually free from the control of the modes of material nature. Then text 70 through 72 in this chapter. Krishna again explaining how one can go back home, back to Godhead. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship, and who is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this, you know, we keep hearing the question, well, what is it? I mean, what do we have to do this? So then, here's Srila Prabhupada's statement. He says, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second. Or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. So, we just don't want to... We just don't want to accept it. We don't want to accept the fact. That's right. We don't want to understand or accept the fact. But it's very simple. So, then go to chapter 3, text 13. Yeah? No. We may have. But it's not necessary. Just like... No. No, this is... No, you don't have to go step by step through all of these things. What the arrangement of levels is meant to show is that there are all these things are out there, and Bhagavad Gita describes them all. And, I mean, Krishna certainly says, he says, ye yata mam prapadyante tams tataiva vajamiha manavart manavartante manashuparta sarvashaha. He says, everybody's following my path, even if they don't know it. You know, so all these people, they're actually following Yeah, they're trying to reach Krishna somehow, but Krishna reciprocates with them according to their level of understanding, and he gives them faith in a certain process. And connected with that, there's a certain level of realization of God that they get. But it's not that, you know, each individual soul will go through all of these things in a sequence. That's not necessary at all. But yeah. Well, I think we covered that when we were talking about Brahman. For example, there was the example of the four Kumaras who were originally situated in a kind of Brahman realization, and they went from there to devotional service to bhakti, you know, to devotional service to Krishna. And sometimes those who are, say, attracted to the material energy, if you tell them about the universal form, then that can kind of get them into a more personal concept. And then from there they can go on to, you know, devotional service. Or those who are involved in meditation upon the super soul, if they can understand that that's just a partial manifestation of Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada, when we went over that meditation from the second canto, Srila Prabhupada gave some logical reasons, you know, how you can see, well, God's purpose simply can't be to provide, you know, intelligence for all these living beings to satisfy their desires in the material world. There's got to be something more to him than that. So then that would mean, like, there's got to be more than the super soul. You know, so there are different ways that people can make progress from any of these things. Or those who are seeing God in nature. Then Krishna explains, well, why, you know, he explains, this is just a spark of my splendor. So then people, if they can appreciate, oh, this material world, it's got so many beautiful things in it, and they're reflections of God, then how beautiful must that original supreme person be? So there are connections. You can make connections. They're more like preaching connections, really. You know, that, because that's what this is, a preaching course, basically. You know, we want to understand with the view of helping people, like, make progress. So there are somebody who understands all these different levels of God realization as they're described in the Bhagavad Gita, and as I say, what the advantage of it is, what the disadvantage of it is, and how you can try to convince people to take a step, you know, towards the ultimate level of God realization. I mean, we should know how to do that. Krishna does it in Bhagavad Gita, like he tells Arjuna about the universal form. Okay, you want to see it, but now that's not the ultimate. You know, the ultimate is my personal form, which I'm showing you now. So it's the same with all these things. And the demigod worshippers, you know, people are worshipping the demigods, but then Krishna says, well, that's foolish. Just, I'm giving the benedictions ultimately, so you might as well just come to me. You know, come to the original source, you know, if you want that. So there are connections between all these things, but they're more like things that we can understand as preachers and try to help people who are involved in these different things to see how it would be better for their purposes to go to Krishna. Yeah. Yes. Well, I was saying once there's some African tribal people who have the concept of a high god, but they don't worship him. But they worship the ghosts and the demons and the spirits, and they say, well, the reason we do that is because, you know, high god, he's not interested in all these material things. You know, so we don't bother him. So even though we know he exists, so we just go to the ghosts, demons, and spirits. You know. But that's not very good. I mean, you could say, well, yeah, well, I'll just worship the demigods because I don't want to bother Krishna, but then you remain trapped in the cycle of birth and death. you know, you don't get the supreme goal. Even the things that you want, they get taken away from you. It's like, described sometimes, it's in the Bhagavatam, it's described that sometimes somebody will be in a heavenly planet because they worship the demigods, and then their karma runs out, and then boom, yeah, then they go down. So, if we want a permanent position of happiness, you know, best to worship, you know, Krishna. So if we understand these things, then we can, you know, help people see that, well, okay, you're worshiping the demigods, that's very good, but better to worship Krishna. All right, you're worshiping the Brahman, you want to absorb, get absorbed in the white light, but better to go through it. Go through it to the source and to the personality behind it. Yeah. So we should understand, you know, how you can give a person who is involved in one of these levels of God realization direction to come to a higher level. You know, to not just any higher level, but to the ultimate level. Love of Krishna. Yeah. No, we give him the ultimate. Yes, we give him the ultimate. Yeah. Well, now we can show him how. You know. This is Lord Chaitanya's movement, and he's giving. It's Lord Nityananda's movement too. And they're giving mercy to the most fallen people at any... Normally, like, the Vedic system is kind of set up to gradually bring people through, you know, like, different stages and levels and things like that. But this is kind of like an emergency situation. You know, this is like the last, you know... I mean, the boat's sinking, and this is like the last lifeboat, you know. It is. I mean, we really don't... I mean, Srila Prabhupada was explaining this to Alex, this Ginsberg guy, this poet. He said, yeah, after, I mean, there's just 10,000 years. And after that, it's going to be, Prabhupada says, it's going to be, I eat you and you eat me, you know, because that's the level that civilization is going to go down to, you know, after this 10,000 year period of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. You know, we're in the Kali Yuga and things are going down fast. You know, so this is like the last chance, you know, for these conditioned souls. So we want to give them the highest thing. And practically speaking, we can see, you know, it actually does work. You know, it actually does work. Now, if they don't take it, then they go do something else, that's their business, but our business should be, you know, to try to convince them to go to the highest level, you know, take Lord Chaitanya's mercy and develop love for Krishna. Because ultimately that's what they are. They're spirit souls, they're part and parcel of Krishna. Yeah, Veda Vyas.
One person approached me the other day and said that this movement will give mercy to the most fallen. So therefore, the best thing to do is to become the most fallen.
You already are. You don't have to work at it.
I couldn't tell you that he was a sannyasi.
Oh. Oh, okay. I see you joke around with the sannyasi sometimes.
So I can prove somebody is the most fallen. He doesn't have to become more fallen.
Of course, he's already a member of this movement. That means he's already got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Right. He's probably involved in giving it out. Yes. You can't let these sannyasis play with your mind like that. they're already authorized distributors. Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Of course, it's nice to feel oneself humble and try to get more. Trinada pisa nichena, tora pisa hishana, manina manidena, kirtaniya sadahari. Yes. So, it's good to be humble and think oneself. Because we always do need Krishna's mercy. So, go over a few more of these verses. See, where were we? Okay, 313. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sin because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So this is sort of one of the requirements for, a very practical requirement for somebody who wants to develop pure devotional service is eat only food which has been offered to the Krishna in sacrifice. Then, chapter 4, text 6 through 11. There Krishna explains, although I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So Krishna's being, if developing attachment for Krishna and one of his transcendental personal forms is important, then Krishna's making that arrangement that in every age he appears in his one of his transcendental forms. He says, whenever there is a decline in religious practice, or descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So Krishna's explaining how to go to his eternal abode. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. So Krishna, in those verses before that, is telling how to go to the end of the path, to get to the destination, how to get to his eternal abode. So Krishna is really merciful. He comes in his transcendental form and displays it. He brings his abode here too. It's like we're in Vrindavan Dham now. Many of you have gone to Mayapur, Jagannath Puri. So Krishna comes in his original transcendental form. He brings his abode here. He displays his pastimes, which even ordinary souls could witness, but they're recorded for us in the Bhagavatam and other sacred literatures. And so he's giving us every opportunity that we need to develop this pure attraction to him, this pure love for him, so we can enter into his eternal abode. Then, 434, of course this is a very important aspect of developing this love for Krishna. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So that's a very important feature of this process of pure devotional service. One has to learn it from a proper teacher, a bona fide spiritual master, in the disciplic succession. Anyways, there's so many verses about pure devotional service. Chapter 5, text 29. Well, anyways, we'll go past that one. Well, since we're at the end, why don't we go right to the very end. Chapter 18, 65. And 66. It's kind of Krishna's final instruction. Yeah, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is Krishna's ultimate message here. That this is the ultimate in religion, the ultimate in God realization. So that brings us to the end of this course, Levels of God Realization of Bhagavad Gita. Thank you all for your attendance and attention. And tomorrow, final exam. So, any last questions about final exam?